This is a conversation with Jonathan Younger, co-founder and CEO of Arcana Labs. With over 15 years in Hollywood film production, he's worked on films that have made billions and knows every part of the process. I really enjoyed hearing about his path as a filmmaker and how it's led him to rethink what's possible at the intersection of storytelling and technology.
Yeah. Great. Hi, Jonathan. Thank you very much for joining the Humans and AI podcast. I appreciate that you take time for this. Yeah, I found it very interesting, your journey in Hollywood and all the creative process of the entertainment industry. So let's start. Jonathan, before going to the main topic of what you're doing right now, I'm curious about understanding your background before the getting into the entertainment industry. And how do you do it? Like a bit of the process. Yes. Briefly.
About how I got into the entertainment business.
Yeah, it's like the background. What's the story before that? Obviously, you've been here over 15 years, but I guess that before that, you were doing something else, right?
I never wanted to do anything else. It was always entertainment, always filmmaking, always producing, acting. I showed interest in the entertainment industry from the age of 4, and I never really had a backup plan. It was just until I got the guts to go to Los Angeles, which I did in the early 2000s. And from there, I did a bit of acting, but then I quickly realized that I want to also work behind the camera and have more control and be able to make things. And then, so about a year into it, I started to work at Millennium. And I started as an assistant and worked my way up. And the beautiful thing about Millennium is you wear a lot of different hats because we're a large company, but we're an indie company. So I've literally worked every single position you can possibly do that's around movie making, from the finance side to casting to physical production, which I did a lot of, to development, to anything in post-production. And I found that I really liked that. And I loved working with directors and helping people bring their stories to life. So it was just a natural progression. When I was growing up and I was a kid, I did theater. I got my first camera when I was 12 and I was making movies with my friends in the backyard and stuff, which was really cool. I was going to the movies every week. I was that kid that would go to the movies on a Saturday morning and I wouldn't come back till late Saturday night because I saw everything. And I still love that passion. But like anything else, things are changing and we have to change with the times.
Yeah, I guess that you grew up in LA?
No, I moved to LA in 2009. I grew up in South Florida, Miami.
Okay, now I cannot assume it because everybody who grew up in LA or in that area, they just kind of, they want to be an actor or they want to be in Hollywood and all that thing. So that's what I kind of...
Yeah, those aspirational dreams. I grew up in South Florida, which wasn't so conducive to that. But those were always my aspirations and my dreams. Even when I was going to school, I was part of the theater, you know, in grade school. And that's where I excelled the most. I was doing 5-6 plays a year. So it's always what I wanted to do.
Okay, great. Now that's how, I guess, Arcana Labs born. So for my understanding, Arcana Labs is an AI production studio. For what I've seen as well, you guys are just launched very not long ago. So... You also said something that I found very interesting, that you guys are focusing on artist-first AI tools instead of AI-driven artists or this kind of, because now everything's about AI. AI is before everything, right? Everybody kind of wants to adapt to AI and embrace AI in every kind of industries. I'm interviewing people from every kind of industry and it's all about AI and they always want to be AI-first. So my question here is like, why do you want to focus on artist first AI tools instead?
Because I think human art is one of the most important things that we have. And it's what makes us human. You can't ignore the fact that these tools exist and it can really be a nice tool set to be used in workflows when people are creating. So what I mean by artist-driven AI is it starts with human first. In fact, I'll give you one better that I believe in, which is humans to the power of AI, not AI to the power of humans. On the platform, because people use the platform to make movies and advertising content. And we have hundreds of thousands of people using it now. One of the things that there's like this stigma around AI, right? That AI is taking our jobs. AI is taking away human emotion. And I actually don't disagree with a lot of that stuff. I don't think it's taking jobs as much as it's just progress and things are changing. But I do believe that in any art form, you need, it's a human-made art form. You need the human first. So my point is that, take a movie, for example. You need to still start with a good script that someone needs to develop, someone needs to write, some good storyboards, and then you start to use the tools to bring those things to life and to just raise production value when you don't have such a high budget. And an example of artist-driven AI. We had a filmmaker come to us because he was making a short film. And he was a horror film. And he had budget for only one set of prosthetics. His prosthetics and movie making, or just prosthetics in general, are very expensive when they make the stuff that fits on the face and things like that. He had budget for one set. Generally, when you're doing a movie, even a short, and you need prosthetics, you're getting multiple sets for different characters. Each character has multiple sets. We were able to take the prosthetic that's made by a human and designed by a human, put it on the actor so that we create the character, bring that character into the platform and create a custom trained model from that character. And from there, create the other characters or the looks of the other characters. So that's an example of artist-driven AI. It started from the work of a human artist. Same thing in the script phase. Flora, ask ChatGPT to make you laugh or cry. It can't. So that's what I mean by artist-driven AI.
Okay. So you said something, I'm quoting you right now. You said, we got to get rid of AI fear and make way for AI excitement because it's not gone anywhere. So basically that's what you're saying, right?
Absolutely. I think any new technology that comes in is always met with fear. When the first computer was around, there was a big machine in a room. they printed on a piece of paper that it solved a math equation, and most people panicked and said, we're all going to die. But then we got to the dot-com era, the internet age, and there's people that were alarmists, and they said, that's the end of humanity. And same thing with AI. Now, the difference between those two eras and the AI era is AI is, in my opinion, a technology that has no limits. So the key is to be able to put it into a sandbox and be able to hone and control AI for our uses and what we need. But yes, I think, especially in Hollywood, the last couple of years was mostly AI fear. But I would say over the last 6 months, people have been making way more for AI excitement. They realize this is a tool. It's not going anywhere. It's helping young filmmakers. Arcana supports young filmmakers all the time. I know a kid in India who just made a movie because we supported him to use the tools. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had the opportunity. And he made something awesome, which is going to come out soon. So we're democratizing the process and also getting rid of barriers. So that basically, which I've said before, that the only barrier to creativity will be passion. That's it.
Interesting. So imagine that today, because actually it's not imagine, because even 5 hours ago, I don't know if you were awake, but ChatGPT was not working. So saying this, so I was kind of like, whoa, what am I going to do? So my question was like, what am I going to do? So my question is that if now imagine that there's like a big thing going on in the world and technology, internet, and AI doesn't work, what would you do now with, for example, in the Hollywood industry, in the entertainment industry, and with Arcana Labs? What are you going to do?
Well, if there's no AI and there's no internet, Arcana Labs doesn't exist. And we'll have to go back to traditional ways. Look, if there was a button pressed where the whole internet disappeared, then it would be panic and chaos. But I believe in the human race, and I believe that we adapt quickly, and we would adapt. But that's how AI or technology gets you to begin with. It's convenience. It's convenient to use GPT. We don't have to, it's a convenience thing. So when we're made not inconvenient, when something inconveniences us, we panic and freak out, but then eventually we adapt. But I don't see that happening. It's funny to like theorize on Armageddon and the end of the world and all of these things, but I think that the chips that are being made today and the stuff that NVIDIA is putting out and everything, I think we're going to be fine. But it's a good question. I think we'll adapt. We would adapt and go back to the way things are. Maybe people will start going to movie theaters again. Maybe people start talking to face with each other. That'd be nice. How about that?
Yeah, actually, I don't know if you hear about it, but not long ago in Spain and in Portugal, they have these, what happened? Like we didn't have, but I wasn't that born in Portugal, Lisbon, and we didn't have a internet or connection at all for 24 hours almost, not less, like 12 hours. And the whole world was crazy. The whole world, not basically. Where I was, basically, people were just, you were coming back to the past, right? Everybody was in the park, talking to each other, having fun, actually. They were not really suffering. But yeah, it made me realize the moment, like how much we rely on the technology and right now in AI, and you never know what things happen all the time. Like we humans, I believe that we are very smart and we can adapt, but there are things that sometimes are out of our control. That's what I was meaning.
I think once you realize that nothing's in our control, it's very comforting, in other words. So there's that great scene at the end of Castaway where Tom Hanks got saved and he's giving that speech where he finally surrendered. And that's when survival really kicked in when he was on the island. It's a beautiful speech. You should check it out sometime. But I actually know what happened in Spain intimately. Some of my clients that buy a lot of my movies, I was talking to them a lot. No internet. And I saw they sent me videos, people on the town square, people playing soccer, people playing guitar. And the thing, it's beautiful. It's an amazing thing. How long that lasts, I don't know. But it just comes back to my point of humans adapt. Just like when a new technology comes and humans adapt, if something goes away, humans will adapt. At the end of the day, our point is continuation. And I think that if tech was to go away, it'll just do one. I think I was thinking about what you were saying. And the thing that comes to mind is the world will just go from being really small to really big overnight again. And the world used to be really big and now it's really small. And it would just go back to that. And sometimes we wish, or I wish I lived in a time where there was no internet and no phones and no this and no that. So it's nice to romanticize about those things.
Definitely. So, Jonathan, let's talk a little bit about how AI is disrupting Hollywood. You, as the person who is obviously have a lot of experience and you've been in this field for a long time, what are your perspectives about this?
I think the shift that's happening in Hollywood is huge, especially with the advent of AI. I think the first companies to be affected are visual effects companies. I think their artists need to get on board with using these types of tools and platforms, especially a tool like Arcana, which has everything in one. In the beginning, it was met with contention, but people are opening their minds more. And it's really, we're ushering into an era where if you want to create something, you can just go and create it. We're ushering into an era where the studios will no longer be holding the keys to the kingdom, which is a crazy thing to say, but it's the truth. I think we're ushering an era of democratization of art, where a kid in Kentucky who had aspirations of being a filmmaker who never had the opportunities will have access to certain tools. And as long as they're a good storyteller and can tell a good story, they'll be able to tell it, which can be really scary for Hollywood because Hollywood's very insular. It's not really welcoming. It's not really open. Everyone fights for their job in Hollywood. It's a fight. Everything is hard. I went through it. My peers went through it. And we don't want to make way for other people. That's just the truth, right? But now with these tools, the next Darren Aronofsky could be somewhere in North Carolina or South Carolina or Illinois or in India or in Japan or wherever. And then finally, these artists can start to think big again, which is a beautiful thing. I'm not sure what Hollywood thinks about that. They talk about inclusion and they talk about all of that stuff, but we'll see. I also do think that the studios, the streamers, they're now starting to build out AI departments. They're a little bit late to the party because they wanted to see what side of the fence AI would end up on. But I do know for a fact that a lot of these companies have built AI departments of 50 plus employees now over the last couple of months. So they're starting to embrace the tools, starting to realize that this is something they need to pay attention to. And also in the world of movie making, I don't think it's the $5 million drama or the $4 million drama that has to worry. I think it's Transformers. I think it's Star Wars. That's what you can do really well with AI. So there's going to have to be a balance. There's always going to be content. There's always going to be entertainment. But I think the entertainment industry also has to adapt to the fact that the audience is dictating today how they want to be entertained. Hollywood, a long time ago, used to dictate when someone got entertained. For example, before the age of AI and the internet, you wanted to see a movie, got to buy a ticket to go at this and this time and sit in the cinema. You wanted to catch your favorite television series on Sunday night, 8 o'clock rolls around, you better make sure your ass is in the couch or else you're going to miss it. That's Hollywood dictated. Today, with creator economy, the cell phones, short form content, TikTok, Instagram, social media, movies, television, the audience is dictating to us how they want to be entertained. It's our job to answer that call as entertainers and to get our heads out of the sand. And so I believe a tool set like Arcana, which could be used across many verticals, can help people create the things that they want to create to get out there and really start to create concepts, amazing concepts to get things out there in trailers, like what we did with Echo Hunter. Echo Hunter went viral. And that was made in 4 weeks for less than $50,000 with SAG actors. So some people are jumping on. And so it's like the way I see, that's like the way I see things unfolding. And I think we're about a year to a year and a half about going fully Gen AI movies, where we could tell people leave the camera at home. That's probably going to be a very controversial thing what I said right now, but I'd stick by what I said.
Great. Here, you're free to say whatever you want. That's why we are here.
Here I am. Laura, I'd love that.
Actually, I wanted to talk a bit about Echo Hunter. Like, I know that it's been created with generative AI tools. So I would like to talk
I just want to just confirm. It was created with Arcana Labs tools.
It was like it's Arcana's first release, but it was kind of with the help of generative AI tools. That's what I meant. Thanks for clarifying that. But my point was here, I would like to understand a little bit of the perspective of the actors. How do actors embrace AI in their work right now?
This time, it was one of the first times it was happening. Most of the actors, any actors of note, that's what they do for a living. They wait for their union, for the SAG to approve something, right? They won't go and work outside of the union. So we knew that if we were going to use professional actors, we had to go get a SAG contract, which we did. We did under a new media contract. We disclosed we were using AI, that it was a low budget, short, all in basically animation. And I reached out like the Brecken and Taylor John Smith. Kevin got some of the other ones, but Brecken and Taylor John Smith were my friends. And I called them. I said, do you want to be part of this? I made a bunch of movies with Taylor and Brecken I've known for a while. And I explained to them the process. I said, show me the project. By the way, like any other project, send me the script, show me the concepts, and I want to know if I want to do it. They liked it. They thought the characters were cool, and they wanted to be a part of it. And they just had to come in and work for one day. I think it was even half a day. They sat down. I think we have a trailer out where we show them what they're doing. And Taylor John Smith actually came with me to Web Summit in Portugal, and we sat and talked about it. And one of the things he says is he believes this is a really big feat for filmmaking because on a lower budget, you can still create cinematic quality content and you don't have to go away for a month now anymore. You can sit and work for a day or a week and get it done and go off to your next job. So they seemed really positive about it. It was an interesting experiment, and it was an experiment I think that worked. And I think we're going to see a lot more actors now starting to embrace working with AI.
Okay. So I also think that's for what my knowledge about filmmaking, which is zero. But I believe it's pretty much the process is it's an emotional process, right? To film in a movie in a way for actors or for the audience to connect with the actors. You have to show that emotion, right? How do you make sure in Arcana that you guys are using AI that you stay true to that human side using AI, basically?
Yeah, I've been a filmmaker for a long time, and I agree with you. Emotion and the actors, the performances, connecting with the audience is the most important thing. Today, you can't do 100% full Gen AI movie if you want to keep the emotions. You have to shoot your actors practically. You have to. Otherwise, when you create custom models, you lose emotion every time you duplicate them. So I would say today, to keep emotion, you can do as much as you can in AI, but you have to shoot your actors practically. Anyone who tells you that you don't today is just lying, and you should run away from that person. So the way we keep it is we just shoot actors practically. We do. You can create, it's all based on the director's work. You can create the establishing shots, wide shots, things zooming in, cars, vehicles driving, planes landing, all kinds of the things that maybe you don't have budget for. But as far as your actors working and acting, you've got to shoot that practically today. Now, in a year from now or a year and a half from now, I could be eating my words. Like what I said before, what's one of the last things that they're going to crack? They're trying to crack emotion, human emotion. And once they do, it's game over.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, honestly. It's kind of, everybody's kind of, no, now there's, I don't know if you hear about AI avatars that basically they're like creating, I don't know, even Avatar, I think it's a movie. Yeah, it's a movie. And it's all made with no real people. Real people are behind the, but they're like characters, avatars.
Yeah, but he grabbed the emotion. Like when you see the emotions on the Navi, which are it's the population of the people, Zoe's face, you could see Zoe's face like in the way that it was moving, and that was all with mocap. So they had the dots on their face, and they had the cameras on them. And James is always using all the biggest tech, but they still were able to capture that emotion because there was a human behind it. I'm saying still shoot a human also, which is what Jim Cameron did. He shot. Have you ever seen some behind the scenes of Avatar? You should watch some behind the scenes, Zoe or Sam Worthington or one of, you see them acting with all the stuff on it, which is like, it requires a lot of talent, which I'm telling you today, AI cannot do at the moment. So it's still important to use humans.
It was a great movie, I have to say. I really liked it. Jonathan, do you have any leader in AI that you get inspired or inspire you to keep pushing through these belief and purpose AI and Arcana Labs?
You're asking if I have any inspiration from the AI space? I derive a lot of my inspiration from the entertainment industry, and there's people, I've got a slew of people that I look up to. I thought one of them is James Cameron, who was always pushing the bar when it came to tech and entertainment. I believe in pushing the bar to tech and entertainment. I think with the good folks at OpenAI are doing is amazing. I think what Alex and his team over at Higgsfield AI, what they're doing is incredible. And we look forward to collaborating with them. But what we're doing is trying to make sure that the artistic piece remains intact. And so basically anybody that was always art first. And I've always found that the directors, the storytellers, the creators that were always art first, they're the ones who like really thrive at the end. Because at the end of the day, as humans, it's what we want. We crave connection as much as maybe we don't think that we do in the world that we live in, but we really do. We crave emotion. We crave these things. And I think we're going to be craving these things more and more as tech progresses. I take inspiration from people who are still doing live theater and stage shows. I take inspiration from people like my wife, who's an incredible creator and an actor and a writer who does everything by herself, A to Z. So those are the people that I derive my inspiration from.
That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing. I haven't heard a lot about AI and entertainment and how people are embracing AI in this industry, in your industry. But do you think that do you have any competitors right now?
Yeah, there's some other ecosystems out there, not really in the way that we're doing it, because We have secret sauce, which I'm not going to get into on this podcast, obviously. But all I'll say is if you use Kling outside of Arcana and then use Kling inside of Arcana, you're going to have a completely different experience. So I don't think so, because, and also we're not in the model competition space. So like when Anthropic and Open and Google and Meta are competing on models and stuff like that, we'll just take them in. Nano Banana is going to be inside of Arcana in, I think, in a few days, for example.
Oh, yeah. So what are your thoughts about responsible AI? Mostly because there are a lot of things going on with mostly things that can go wrong using AI. I guess that in the entertainment industry, it's a bit different, but I would like to hear from you. What is your point of view from the responsible AI side?
Yeah, I just have to ask you a question. In what sense of responsible, like what part of responsible AI?
I would say mostly the ethical part, for example, from movies and using humans and using generative AI that you guys are doing. How can you keep it ethical in both ways for the actors, for example?
All of our models are built on opt-out lists, so any artists that don't want to be part of the model won't be part of the model. One of the other things that we realized when we cracked consistency in AI is doing custom trained models, and which means that, which also ties again into artist-driven AI, like a custom trained model is, let's say this cup, for example, is like your character or your storyboard or whatever, your environment. We would make a custom trained model of photos from with that data set, like a small data set, and that's it. So that's copyrightable. And then the human starts to work with the tool. And so it's constantly changing. Arcana Labs, actually, funny enough, because I spent a lot of my career fighting for intellectual property, fighting for copyright. I was an expert witness in the DMCA hearings in front of the Judiciary Committee. I've written to The Atlantic many times, a lot of op-eds. I'm currently a plaintiff in a large piracy lawsuit in Canada. And so I'm really into protecting copyright and creators. I do think the world of copyright is shifting. I think the problem with that is, and what's happening with AI, is that the copyright offices are government entities and they move way too slow for how fast AI is moving right now. But I think if all of us work together, like what we're doing at Arcana, custom trained models, small data sets. We're also creating a feature in Arcana soon, which will allow you to press a button and it'll generate a document that'll show your whole entire workflow that you did, which you could staple to your copyright application. As long as you're using small data sets based on proprietary data, you're fine. But again, I think the paradigm of copyright over the next years, call it 5 years, 6 years, is going to shift. I don't know what that shift is going to be exactly, but I know that there's a shift coming because it can't sustain. The copyright offices can't sustain it the way that they're operating now with the advent of this technology.
Okay. So looking ahead, what is your vision that of Arcana Studios? Like, what do you want your startup to go towards? Like, what is the dream vision that you have? What is the direction that it's going towards?
It's a good question. So there's three parts to Arcana. One is the platform, Arcana AI. Two is the academy that we have, Arcana Academy, where people can take VOD courses and to get educated. Three is Arcana Productions, which will become Arcana Studios. And it's based on the use case of Echo Hunter. A movie made with SAG, real actors, real filmmaker, made on a small budget, which garnered an offer from a streamer. This is all confidential, so I'm not going to say who, for 7 figures within 6 weeks. So I looked at that use case and I said, what about we create an environment where we're putting bona fide filmmakers who want to execute on their visions, pairing them with top-of-the-line AI artists, with traditional Hollywood development, traditional sales and marketing, all in one place, where people can do as much as they can in AI, artist-driven AI, and then from there, pluck out and reverse engineer what you shoot practically. My dream, my vision is to build Blumhouse meets Pixar. Pixar for the tech, Blumhouse for the high concept and lower budget. I have done billions of dollars in the box office. I've done billions of dollars in sales on my movies. I'm known for making big budget movies for a much lower price. I've been doing that my whole entire career. And so applying these tools, I can tell you that a budget like $3 million is going to give you $40 million worth of value. So being able to do that and up the content and have a place that's going to support creator economy, I think that's the studio of the future. It doesn't need 50 sound stages. You don't need all that. So you need offices where humans are working together in person to create. You still need creativity. You still need to iterate. You still need to discuss. You still need to read. You still need to write to create some of the best content. And you start to apply these tools, your output will be faster. Your output will be better. And you'll be able to learn very quickly what works and what doesn't work. That's the studio of the future. That's what, for me, Arcana Studios and everything, it all ties into each other.
Great. That sounds great, actually. Okay, I've got just one last question for you. We know that, as you said, Hollywood is changing, is with AI, everything is changing very fast. But there are still people or actors that inside of the industry that they don't really believe it or they're afraid of it. So what is the advice that you would give it to them?
Don't be afraid and get your head out of the sand, because these tools are coming and they're here already and they're actually very beneficial. And people say you can make something in 2 days. Oh, I made this commercial on Arcana in 2 days. I made this movie in 1 week. No, the truth is you made it in 20 years plus 2 days. Nothing replaces knowledge and experience. The more knowledge and experience you have, the better you use the tools. You got to think of it like it's a guitar, right? Slash from Guns N' Roses, he can play the guitar. My 10-year-old nephew, you can give him the same guitar and it's going to be played very differently. So that's what it's a tool set that should be embraced.
Great. Thanks, Jonathan. It's been a great interview. Thank you very much. I've learned a lot about what's going on in the Hollywood industry and what entertainment industry actually is the entertainment. Thank you very much for joining Humans on AI podcast again. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for listening to the Humans on AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.